fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Another Duck Boat Championship Parade is taking place in Boston on this Tuesday to celebrate another Super Bowl title by the New England Patriots. The Patriots beat the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday 13-3 in Atlanta, Georgia, for their record-tying sixth Super Bowl trophy. Joining us now for some Super Bowl talk is sports reporter Dan Friedel. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Sonny. Good to be here on the other side of the window today instead of being in the big chair like I've been recently. I hope you're doing well.
I am doing well, Dan, and I know the New England Patriots are doing well after their sixth Super Bowl trophy. Now, Dan, ahead of that recent Super Bowl, just about all the prognosticators were forecasting a high-scoring game. In fact, we had the lowest scoring Super Bowl, 16 total points in history. What happened?
Well, you know, Sonny, I'm looking at a story that was written before the big game kicked off, and some of the odds makers predicted a final score total in the mid-50 points. So that would have been a game that was like 30-27. And instead, we had a game that was 13-3, which is pretty unique. You know, we've had Super Bowls where one team has been really dominant, keeping the other team off the scoreboard, kind of in the same way that the Patriots did on Sunday, just allowing 3 points to the Rams. But we've seen a lot of offense on the other end. I mean, if you remember some of these Super Bowls that we saw in the 80s with teams like the San Francisco 49ers, or the Washington Redskins or the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, those teams were extremely dominant, but they didn't have any trouble scoring points. And both teams had trouble scoring points on Sunday, which was, you know, I saw a friend of mine and a friend of ours who's contributed to the show in the past, USA Today sports reporter AJ Perez on Twitter said, I hope that soccer fans are enjoying this Super Bowl when the score was 3-0 at one point, 0-0 for a lot of the game, and then eventually all the scoring broke out and it became 3-3 at one point. Really, it was kind of like what they call a pitcher's duel in baseball, where the teams are slugging it out, but no hits, no home runs, nothing extremely exciting in the game, especially nothing that exciting like last year when we saw the Patriots and the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Dan, that lack of scoring by both teams, do you think it had an effect on the overall television audience? The Super Bowl every year is one of the most watched TV programs in the United States. Usually more than 100 million people watch it. And yet the initial ratings have been poor for this 53rd Super Bowl. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, there's an interesting story here, I think, that has to do with the public relations aspect of these two teams. First of all, there's something we talked about when I was hosting the show recently, that there's some fatigue about seeing the Patriots in the Super Bowl so often. You know, one of the ways that the NFL maintains fan interest is by having a new team in the big game every year, you know, especially team from a big city, but this year you have a team from a big city in the Los Angeles Rams, except for the fact that the Rams for two decades played in St. Louis, so there's not a huge fan base established in Los Angeles currently. You know, the last time the Rams were based in Los Angeles was in the early 1990s, so they're kind of a team that doesn't have a strong home, even though they're in one of the largest cities in the United States. Certainly the ratings would be great in New England because the Boston area fans are so big on the Patriots, and the Patriots have been such a exciting team to follow for almost 20 years. But you think about all the other fans, all the other sports fans and the casual fans in the middle of the country, they didn't really have that hook to follow the game. I'm sure that people were attending parties and enjoying eating guacamole and enjoying watching the commercials, but there wasn't that hook as far as the fan interest building up to the game like there have been in previous Super Bowls.
In fact, Dan, I remember on one of the shows you hosted, you said that you really didn't care for either team in terms of fandom, that you were going to approach the game as an impartial observer. How did you watch the Super Bowl?
Well, actually, I have to say, Sonny, I was at work, one of my other jobs, working on a story about the Super Bowl commercials. We did see some interesting commercials. Actually, one of the first commercials is one of our favorite athletes to talk about on the Sunny Side of Sports. It featured Serena Williams promoting a dating app called Bumble. And the dating app called Bumble puts the woman in charge. It gives the woman the opportunity to make the first move. And Serena was featured in the story of the commercial kind of saying, women have some empowerment in this dating equation. And that was really interesting to see her because I couldn't tell right away what the commercial was for. First, I thought maybe this is a Nike commercial. Then I realized it was a commercial for a dating app.
Well, Dan, the Patriots, they've been in the Super Bowl now, I think, 9 times in the past 18 seasons. They've won 6 of those Super Bowls that they've been in. I know they've set numerous other records over the past 2 decades. Why don't you run down a few of those records for our Voice of America listeners?
Well, Sonny, you know, one of the interesting things that we talked about in the last a couple of months leading up to the Super Bowl was how the Patriots have kind of gotten getting to the Super Bowl down to a perfect science. You know, one of the things about the Patriots is that the division that they play in, the AFC's Eastern Conference with teams like the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins have not had a ton of competition as far as getting into the playoffs. And then once they get into the playoffs, most of the time they will have a home playoff game. They didn't have that second round home playoff game this year where they had a tight game against the Kansas City Chiefs. But Bill Belichick is really become one of the most successful head coaches in NFL history. He tied these legendary, George Halas, the coach of the Chicago Bears for so many years, and Curly Lambeau, the coach of the Green Bay Packers, both have 6 NFL titles. And, you know, Tom Brady in all of these Super Bowls, pretty amazing the fact that he's been able to play in so many of these games. Bill Belichick winning games as both the head coach and a assistant coach over the years. You know, Bill Belichick was a huge part of the New York Giants' success in the 1990s. Of course, all of these guys are saying that it's a team effort, and it certainly is, but these two players, Tom Brady, I mean, these two contributors, Tom Brady, who's now in his early 40s, and Bill Belichick, kind of once seen as a young head coach, now in his late 60s, the question is whether they're going to go for it again next year and see if they can keep the key elements together of these Super Bowl teams for another couple of years. It'll be interesting to see if they've managed to do that. Julian Edelman, the MVP of the game, kind of an unknown player to most people. He's not a huge star, but he's a very strong contributor. Actually came out of small university in Ohio, my home state, Kent State, where he was a quarterback. Turned into a wide receiver. Just a lot of kind of unknown players on the Patriots making an impact in the Super Bowl. And so, you know, even though people say that they're tired of seeing the Patriots in the Super Bowl, each year the Patriots do seem to have players who have interesting stories coming to the forefront in the big game.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with sports reporter Dan Friedell about the recent Super Bowl. Dan, you talked about the Patriots getting the Super Bowl down to a science. What about that two-week gap between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl? Did that extra week of preparation help Bill Belichick and the Patriots?
You know, absolutely. There's no doubt about it that Bill Belichick, with time to prepare, is probably one of the most impressive coaches. A lot of attention actually has been paid to the New England defensive coordinator, Brian Flores, who was just hired to be the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Flores, an African-American assistant coach, just got hired yesterday by the Dolphins. He and Belichick are credited with putting together this game plan over the course of 2 weeks to slow down this dynamic offense of the Los Angeles Rams. Sean McVay got a lot of attention as the head coach of the Rams for being so young. He's just in his early 30s, just about half the age of Bill Belichick. Jared Goff, a young quarterback for the Rams also. Neither McVay nor Goff nor the dynamic running back from the Rams, Todd Gurley, were really able to get anything going. The Patriots are not seen as having an outstanding defense, yet they were able to limit this dynamic offense of the Rams to just 3 points. And Belichick and Flores are getting a ton of well-deserved credit for their efforts over the 2 weeks getting the team ready for the Super Bowl. And McVay, some people are saying, you know, he has a lot of potential, but he learned something in the Super Bowl. And he himself said that he didn't coach the team as well as he had hoped he would have been able to coach the team to get the result that the Rams were looking for.
Dan, I'm going to have to sign off with you for now. We hope to get you, hear your thoughts down the road on the Sunny Side of Sports. We thank you, Dan, for that super talk. That sports reporter Dan Friedell. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to athletics, the energetic Andy Edwards caught up with a British ultramarathon runner who has fond memories of an inaugural five-day race in Kenya. Here's Andy.
I'm sitting in a North London cafe, in fact, it's my regular haunt for breakfast, with someone whom, and he laughs when I say I think of him as Ultra Pete. His full name is Pete Ryan, who's a British sports trainer. That's what he does for a living, his day job, locally in North London. But he has a very interesting career so far as an ultra runner, does all sorts of races which I might find crazy as a what I call more regular runner. But in particular interest for us, in the summer, he did the inaugural Nairobi Ultra Marathon. Quite an event, 5 days, and well, that's one of the things we're going to be talking to Pete about. So, Pete, why did you go to Kenya to run? Okay, it's the first one, ultra running, but you say it's over 230 kilometers, 5 days. Kilometers. What motivated you to do that? Because most people would think, what on earth are you doing?
I suppose I'm obsessed with pushing myself to the limit in whatever it is I do. So the wonderful thing about ultra runs is you will eventually reach a point in which you really have to dig deep to go further on. Now, you can't get a better environment than through some of the conservancies in Kenya. The wildlife you come across, the conservation that you're raising money for, the anti-poaching, it's just a beautiful, beautiful run, and I couldn't say no to the challenge.
I know from talking to you that wildlife conservation, you've done ultra races all over the world. That's a very important factor for you. So what was special about the Kenya Ultra?
So I've done runs before in Peru through the Amazon, through the Namibian desert as well. And the company that organises all of these runs, they reached out to me and said, look, Pete, we're thinking of doing a run here in Kenya to raise money for this. how would you fancy it? And again, as I say, that to me is just like ticking every box: animals, beautiful terrain, and raising money for that fan. I couldn't say no to that. So that was the inspiration there.
And what animals in particular were you raising money for, or was it just Kenyan wildlife in general?
So the race itself is done by a company called Beyond the Ultimate, and it's in partnership with Save the Rhino. So the main thing is Rhino Conservancy out there, but at the same time it's raising money for the rangers themselves to buy clothes, food, and things like that. Rather than just the anti-poaching, it's actually focusing on the rangers who give up their lives for that.
Interesting you talk about rangers, because I remember interviewing a Kenyan elite runner, and he'd done well in a marathon I was covering several years ago. I think it was maybe Prague Marathon. And it turned out he had a day job, and he said, "I'm a wildlife ranger and trained by British Army," as it happened, and he was combining being, you know, a top-class runner running something like 2:10 for the marathon, but he was doing his full service as a ranger, including night sentry duty and everything, and going out into what I would call the bush and making sure the poachers weren't active.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what was happening here. So as we were running along, the route was constantly being manned by the rangers themselves. So in the daytime, half were looking after the runners, and then of a nighttime, the half that were looking after us would then go about their duties of the night. You know, it was amazing to see. You could see it happening all as you were going on.
Where did the race, Nairobi Ultra, start? And was it a loop course? You say 5 days, 230K. Just give us a picture of what you took in as the route.
We started off in one of the conservancies. I'm just trying to find the name of it now. We start in the Lua Wildlife Conservancy, and we finish on the equator line in the Old Pajeta Conservancy. And through that, we ran through five different conservancies as well. So we saw different sorts of terrain, animals. We saw everything. It was incredible.
Oh, that's interesting. So five different conservancies, and you're seeing different animals. So just give us a little kind of word picture of what animals you saw. I mean, everybody thinks, well, Africa, there's a lot of them about.
So on day one, you were running along. As soon as we started off running, we were round by a zebra, running around everywhere. There was on one of the days that I actually ran through a herd of zebra. Giraffe everywhere, rhinos, elephants. There were lions in the distance as well, to which we were told to keep well back from. Hyenas, at everything you can think of and more. It was just everything was there. And you got so close to these animals that you just couldn't experience in any other way. A safari, you're in a car, you're in a safe thing. Here, you are exposed to it all. And that was the exciting part of the adventure.
Were there any dangerous moments? You talk about lions, tigers, etc.
There could have been, but it was so well organized and so well manned by the rangers. They knew where all the animals were. A few slipped through every now and then, but we had helicopters and planes flying overhead to keep a track on where everything was. But the potential is there, but it was so well handled.
You've done other ultras, and in talking beforehand, you said you've been an ultra runner actually only for 3 years, and you're 32, obviously a fit guy because you're a sports trainer, that's your work. Where else have you raced, and was there always a connection with wildlife conservation in your choice of venue?
So the first run that I trained for was for another ultra, but that was in Peru, and that was in the Amazon jungle there. Now again, you're talking animals, you've got animals everywhere around you. So that was the big highlight for me. I've always been an animal boy. I'm obsessed with animals. My arms are covered in tattoos of animals. So that's a real trigger point for me. So that was the real biting point for me. It was the potential of seeing going to the Amazon and everything there. And that's always been the selling point for me.
What about your other ultra, your fellow ultra runners? How big or small was the field? Because that's it's not something. It's not like doing a 10K road race. You know, 232 kilometers, 5 days. I presume you've got to have really special preparation just to get through it.
To be honest, it's more. Don't get me wrong. There comes the physical element of being able to do it, but I believe everyone can do it. I think the ultra running actually comes down to more of a mental game, because it's really is just a point of every single step forward is going to get you closer to the end. And that's the thing that I love about this, is that there's people there of all different shapes and sizes and heights and weights, that it eventually must come down to one point, which is the mental capacity to carry yourself through. Because as I say, everyone reaches a point on these runs where you do break down, where your fitness level isn't there, your body can't keep up, but yet you still carry on. That's the addictive part of this. So all the people that I know that do these runs, we all have something in common, and it's that ability to push ourselves mentally and just carry on and carry on and carry on.
That's really fascinating. Well, Pete Ryan, Ultra Pete, as I may call you, we look forward to hearing, I presume, this may not be the last time you do an ultra in Africa. You got plans for more?
I would easily go back to Kenya and do the same run again, but I've got plans now to do two more ultras, one more in the Arctic Circle, and then another one in Japan. So another 2 5-dayers.
Well, I think I need to lie down for that. Pete Ryan, thank you very much for talking to us. Fascinating insight into the Nairobi Ultra Marathon, the first one, and there's more to come. Thanks, Pete.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Ultra Pete Ryan. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The search for former Nantes football player Emiliano Sala is continuing. Sala's plane crashed about 2 weeks ago, shortly after he signed with the English club Cardiff City. Joining us with an update is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Hi, Gwen.
Hey there, Sonny. Cardiff City players are preparing for their upcoming match against Southampton on Saturday, and as fans in both Cardiff and Nantes continue to mourn, it's been reported that the wreckage of the aircraft that carried Salah and his pilot has been located. David Mearns is a marine scientist and oceanographer who began a publicly funded underwater search for the aircraft on Sunday. Within hours, Mearns announced via Twitter that the plane had been found. And the following day, air accident investigators said video footage showed a body was visible inside. Mearns spoke on Monday and said the plane's recovery will provide some much-needed answers.
So we wanted to go out there and find the plane. We're pleased that that happened. It's going to be, you know, people use the word closure. This is just the first step. It's a long, long way. But at least this is the route for people, for them to have answers. That said, if they never had these answers, if the plane was never located, I don't think the family would ever rest. And that's why we wanted to go out there and find it.
Salah was set to make his debut for Cardiff City Premier League Football Club and was traveling to Cardiff when his plane lost contact with air traffic control over the English Channel. Salah's family hired David Mearns to search for the missing plane after Coast Guard officials called off their search late last month when no trace of the aircraft or the two men on board were found. Salah's father publicly thanked those who have supported the search and said he hopes rescue teams find his son as soon as possible. Meanwhile, Salah's sister has shared a photo of his dog patiently waiting for Salah to return. She wrote simply, "Nala is waiting for you too. This is such a heartbreaking story. We'll keep you posted on any updates as they're reported." Sonny, I'll hand it back over to you.
Heartbreaking indeed, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow The Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page on this Tuesday, you'll see a nice photo of basketball great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who I met in Johannesburg last year at Basketball Without Borders Africa. And that wraps up the February 5th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the West perpetually talks about its democratic values, self-determination, and freedoms. Can these concepts become realities in Africa? Discussing freedom of expression on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
An international team of astronomers wanted to determine the age of a globular star cluster called NGC 6752. So they secured observation time with the Hubble Space Telescope to observe and photograph some of the old and faint stars in the star cluster. As they studied a grouping of white dwarf stars, the astronomers noticed that the Hubble's remarkable vision also revealed a previously unknown dwarf galaxy hiding behind the cluster. The astronomers nicknamed this hidden galaxy Bedden 1 and describe it as a relatively small-sized, elongated galaxy that measures about 3,000 light-years long. It's thought that the Bedden 1 dwarf galaxy is located about 30 million light-years away from our galaxy and that it formed some 13 billion years ago. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London!
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs, such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.